Hey, topic, speaking about Avraham Avinu. So this Ha'ara, the Rabbi Yerucham has from the, he quotes from the Rabbi Simchas Issel, the Alter Kelim. The Alter Kelim says that Avraham Avinu is by us, we find Avraham Avinu, we find two things he was Mitzuyanin. Avraham Avinu was the person who was found the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria. He was able to be Mizbarin, but Daito, the Gemara says, the whole world is being over the Avodah Zorah. He was contemplated, he finally came to the recognition that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who runs the world. And his understanding of that was so powerful and so that it's so intense that he was able to be willing to immerse the Nefesh. Kadosh Baruch Hu had not megal himself to him yet at that point of Urkastim. He had not had any nevuah from Kadosh Baruch Hu. He was not told to do this, but his emunah in Kadosh Baruch Hu was so stark that he said that he's willing to go into Kibshan Eish, and that's what he was told, rather than to deny that reality. And he figured that out himself. But looking in Klal Yisrael, especially Al Pi Kabbalah, etc., but the main way we remember of Ramavina was the Amura Chesed. The Ramavina was the Mid of Chesed, the Amura Chesed. So we have two elements about Ramavina which seem to be in some way disparate, two different things. They're not austere with each other, but they're not necessarily connected. He said that's a mistake. Both these things are connected one to the other. The two meters of Ramavina are connected one to the other. And both of them have in common that Avraham Avinu saw beyond himself. Betzim, if a person would take out the disciple writes in a letter, if a person would take out his gaiva and have no gaiva, he would have emunah shleim and Kadosh Baruch Hu very easily, because you put yourself out of the picture. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the world screams at Kadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu saw the world screaming at Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's how poshut it was. He took himself out of the picture and he saw Kadosh Baruch Hu. The biggest stira to emunah, the step of rights is gaiva, the meat of gaiva. Avraham Avinu wasn't happy with just saying, "I know a Kadosh Baruch Hu." He wanted the whole world to know a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, what was motivating him? The Torah gives us this whole arichas about the chesed of Avraham Avinu, getting parshas Vayera. The Malachim come and he runs to the Bokar and he gives them Lushi, Rasi, everything is quickly, etc. But we know, but before that, the Pasuk says, he made an Eshel. What was the Eshel? Eshel, he spent Achilashtia and Levoya Achilashtia, that he was busy feeding the whole world. Chazal say that not only was he feeding the whole world, but every person came, he would teach them to thank the Kodesh Baruch, etc. He was sitting Pesach he wanted to do, he wanted to give, tremendous desire to give. And finally you have a Nefesh HaRasub HaRab that he took thousands of people with him, because I'll say thousands of people that he was able to be Makarav to Kodesh Baruch. So I was, I don't know, said, thinking about it, Avraham Avinu obviously had a clear vision. He saw the needs of others, and he cared about it, and he wanted to give to them. I had a chaver once told me, a very sensitive person, and he pointed out to me that he was living in Eretz Yisrael. He found it emotionally very difficult, because there's a lot of difficult situations in Eretz Yisrael. People have difficulty financially, etc. And he would sit and think about it at nighttime, and he would get so affected by it that he couldn't sleep. That's the level of sensitivity that he was. So he pointed out that if he wouldn't be such a sensitive person, he would be he'd be able, you know, he wouldn't affect him as such. So, I mean, he wasn't saying it was a bad thing, he was just saying that there's a downside to the sensitivity, that, you know, he couldn't sleep. I'm not sure the right, say it the right way. Can I ask the question that Avraham Avinu sleep at nighttime? Was he sitting there, you know, he was so affected by the challenges of the people that he couldn't sleep at nighttime? What was the emotion which Avraham Avinu felt? If we can, you know, attempt to put ourselves into his, if we have a right, an attempt to put ourselves into his shoes. And to me, I would theorize that the meaning of the Avraham Avinu felt was a tremendous simcha. That a person can have the clarity to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to see it with such an intensity that he was willing to Moser Nefesh Kipshutoi, to go into Kipshan Aish. We can't imagine what it means, the physical pain of a fire and the psychological fear of walking into fire. And he was ready to do that because of his clarity of the Metzias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a Meitiv im Zulosai, the Alter writes, and therefore he understood that that's the meter that a person should be misdabik by and to do as well. And he was doing it. So there's a tremendous simcha in his life that he is able to do. The Russian gave him the opportunity, gave him the wherewithal to be a Meitiv L'Zulosai. The root of that, the person feels. I had a conversation. Somebody sent me, mentioned this by the. Somebody sent me an email that he was in his office by one of these meetings in the office. So while they were waiting for the to get going, as he mentioned, he just finished, you know, the holiday. So somebody over there made like a comment, you know, somewhat cynical comment. You know, we just finished the holiday rejoicing of, you know, 9 days of all this pressure, type of a thing. So somebody said back, you know, one of the secular people says, I didn't know there's any rejoicing in the Old Testament. I thought it was all very dreary and sad. So he realized he had about 1 minute to respond to that. So he didn't write what he responded. He sent an email. What would you have said? That was the question he sent to me. See, what would you have said? How would you have responded to that? So the response that I would have given is that I spoke to him on the phone. The response I would have given is that happiness is a byproduct. When the United States believes in the pursuit of happiness, happiness is a goal. Happiness is not a goal, and the more you try to pursue it, because I'll say when you run after something, it runs away from you. You run after COVID, you don't get any COVID. You run after happiness, you don't get happiness with it. Happiness is a byproduct. What's it a byproduct of? When a person feels he has a purpose, and he's fulfilling his purpose, and he feels good about the fact that he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, he feels content, and that's what happiness is. So there's not a stress in the Torah in a major way about Simcha is a major message, because it's not about Simcha. But when a person is over the Kadosh Baruch Hu without Simcha, that's saying he doesn't see that as a purpose, or he doesn't feel he's fulfilling his purpose. So Tachas Shalavat Hashem, you were Tako Evid, so you were fulfilling your purpose, and you weren't happy, it means you didn't see it as important. That's the it's a measure of the understanding of the value of what you're doing. Avraham Avinu understood the value of what he was doing. He understood with such a clarity, he was willing to do much an effort for it. So every time he was made to another human being, he saw that is that he was, at that moment, playing the role that Kosh Pro gave him to be able to be the benefactor to somebody else. How could you not be Basimcha? Instead of focusing on all of the pain which is there and wishing he could do more, he was focusing his efforts and to be aware of everybody else and to be native to them. From that state of being, that clarity that he had, where he was, the focus was not about himself, it was about being able to give to others, right? So there comes interesting, you see, as Rebbe writes about this, when he talks about the Midah of Chesed, is that he said he gave the Talmidim an assignment. He says, before they go out and do Chesed, he says, he gave them an assignment. He says, for the next 2 weeks, I don't want you to do any Chesed. I just want you to three times a day, you meet people, different people you'll meet, stop and think about what you think their needs are. What do you think their needs are? So after 2 weeks, they come back, they give a report. And basically, after giving the report, he gives the summary of what they came back with. Is basically, people have fairly similar needs to us, right? The members of the group, like we see, basically, so, you know, we met three times a day, you met somebody, you thought about what they needed, and you found them very similar to pretty much what your needs were. He says, basically, what happened was you didn't see the other person, you saw yourself projected into the other person. Right? Trying to get into the other person's perspective, another person's reality, is a very difficult thing. And they hadn't done that. And that was his point, that the first step of the meat of chesed is not to be mateiv to somebody else, is to understand what the person's needs are. The same way Avraham Avinu took himself out of the picture and was able to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu with a clarity, he took himself out of the picture and saw another human being. And he saw what their needs were. And he was mateiv to that. But he saw the other person. Where is the other person coming from? Instead of looking at it from my vantage point, what I would do in that situation, which is the best point of reference that we usually have, the godless is able to understand that person's point of reference and understand where he's coming from. That meat is called Noisa Bodhim Chavera. That's the meat of Noisa Bodhim Chavera. Noisa Bodhim Chavera is Pasha that you understand and you hear and you're aware of the other person. Once you're in that state where that you understand that you're the hear and you're aware of the other person, it's almost natural that the response will be, I want to do something about it. The Russian made us bad some that we're people which we're good people. And we have an inclination towards Torah. We want to be made to. You find individuals which are, we'll call them interesting individuals, right? They're not so, but even them, when they do a good deed, they feel very good about it. Why is that? Why is it, you know, you have people which, they're known not to be nice people, etc., but once in a while they'll do something good and, you know, they'll talk about it and and you'll see that they were happy that they did it. Right. Russia made the nature of the person bad, so the nature of the person is that they want it, that we are toiv and we like being mative. Just we don't see the other person, so there's nothing to be toiv and be mative about. Once we see the other person and we're really to hear, we understand what exactly is going on inside of them, the natural teguva, the natural response is going to be to be mative. So I think the kudah of Avraham Avinu's avoda wasn't so much that he was mative, is that he dehared of the person. And the natural response to that is to be mative. I think maybe the same way a mother to a child. The natural response of a mother to a child is that she wants to take care. That's an innate part of her being, that she wants to take care of her child. Right? If we would develop that type of regish to others, we would really hear how much that there is that they need. We would like to give. We would like to do. We're not always able to, but we would like to. The interesting thing that Yeshiva is every yeshiva really has that opportunity. We had in Tells, Tells did it in his way, its way. You know, so Tzurishin does it in its way. Right? Tells everything was organized. Right? We had in yeshiva, we had something called the Vav B'nei Yeshiva, basically student council, and there was there are elections, and each year puts one person into the Vaad. Maybe it's two, I don't remember anymore. I think the older Shurim, there was two people. And we had meetings, and we discussed different things around the yeshiva. But there's a tremendous expectation by the Rosh Yeshiva is that the Bachurim really should play a significant role in running the yeshiva, taking care of the yeshiva. Not only in taking care of the yeshiva, but that we were given a certain amount of free hands in certain areas to run the yeshiva. It came from understanding that if a person cares about something, he wants to help, he wants to do. We were given to the point that we were given a certain amount of authority. It was accepted in the yeshiva that an older bacher had a right to correct a younger bacher. If there was a bacher, younger bacher was acting out in the dining room, let's say he was acting inappropriately, an older bacher had the authority to actually throw him out of the dining room, kick him out, is he not acting nice? You know, please leave. And it was expected the younger, and if he didn't listen, the yeshiva, you know, could call him in and say, why don't you listen to so-and-so who told you to leave? That was an expect. The yeshiva would back up such an action. It's like, now it wasn't, you know, a 19-year-old telling an 18-year-old. It was talking about a 24-year-old telling a 15-year-old. But, you know, but it was together with the but it was expected that meant, because a 24-year-old was expected that he had a level of responsibility for the yeshiva. And he cared about the yeshiva. And he would help. And part of helping is making sure that things are done appropriately. Silver Spring doesn't have an official Vaad B'nei Yeshiva. They don't necessarily have authority. They don't necessarily think about what the needs of the yeshiva are beforehand. They just sort of like deal with it as it happens. You know, it's almost the same type of approach, just mirror style versus tell style. Right? But that's always been a chinuch in the yeshiva. And it's not just here, not just tells, but that was, you know, this really was the musig, that there's a lot which has to be accomplished, and it can't be accomplished by the rebbeim. There's a lot of things which the natural thing would be, if it's a person's makom, that they want to contribute, they want to do, they do care. It's a tremendously important element in the chinuch aspect of a makom, because that really should eventually expand to a person's community. And it should expand to a person's wife, to his family, but it should expand to a community. It should expand to Klal Yisrael. That we feel this regish of Klal Yisrael is something we relate to, and eventually it should expand to the world. Hirsch talks about this in the Kuda, that Klal Yisrael is supposed to be Or La'amim. It should expand to a stewardship to the world, to the physical world. Clearly the Torah expects that there's a certain element of respect that we have towards the needs of an animal and the pain of an animal, the needs of the world, to use the world appropriately, baltashkus. But it all comes from a feeling of achrayus. I feel responsibility. I see the needs beyond me and I care about it. The famous story you have about Rei Lapion taking care of the cats, feeding the cats in the Krach Hasidim. We live in Krach Hasidim. They used to feed all the cats. He used to put up milk for the cats, etc. Now, you have to picture this. It's still cats that basically are on the same level as rats. You know, one of the Gedolei Ba'alei Mussar, 89 years old, is busy putting out milk, you know, for all the, it's like putting out milk for the rats. You know, you have to picture this. But there's an animal that you're taking care of. He took care of him. So you read it. You read it in the Gedolei books. And say, wow, it's a wonderful story. You know, so one day I'll grow up and I'll take care of cats. You know, right? That's not the point. The point is that it's not the point that he was a big balragish and he cared about the cats. The point is he saw something beyond. He saw beyond himself. He just saw a world with such a clarity that everything was something he felt some level of responsibility for, to help if he could. So the animal also was of that sort. The Torah's name there for a person who's the opposite of that, person who's, we call it English, cruel, it's not really cruel, it's callous, is the word achzer. If you just translate that word achzer as a cruel person. Ravel points out that the word achzer comes from the word achzor. Everything is strange, everything is foreign to him. He has no friends. Everything is, he's not, he doesn't care about anything. He's callous. Everything is just a Zohar. Everything to him is Zohar. It's like not interested, not important. Which means the total focus is himself. So Ach Zohar. So the opposite of Ach Zohar would be that everything is not only is it Zohar, but it's the opposite. It's something that I feel related to, something that I care about. Avraham Avinu was the Mura Chesed. Avraham Avinu was the first of the Avos. We pointed out other times that the Olam, that Olam Chesed Yibona, the Batsim, the foundation of all of it is Chesed. Then you can, once you have Chesed, you can talk about Din, because Din is a way to enhance the Rosh Hashanah, create a world because he wants to be Meitiv. The greatest Tova is a person feels he deserves it. The Rosh Hashanah made a Midas Din. Therefore, we can get it in a way that we deserve it. So we feel better about it. It's then that enhances the Hatava. That's how a parent deals with a child. The yisod of the relationship is one of chesed, of love, of caring. And sometimes he makes demands of a child because that's the way the child will feel that they're doing it in a way that they feel good about themselves, as opposed to just the parent just giving. But it's done in such a way that it's healthy for the child, that the Kabbal will accept it in a way which is positive. So just to give is not going to be necessarily healthy, because you're so focused on I want to give. It's not I want to give, it's what the other person needs to receive. From that vantage point of being that awareness of giving beyond myself, and creates this need of responsibility for the whole world. So Rashi then gave us a Torah and said, okay, now I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to tell you how you can function within this world in such a way that it will work. You'll give to the world what it needs. By you doing mitzvahs, you doing chesed, you doing all these different things, you will have now played out the role that you're supposed to play to be mitzvah to the Bria. And that's not something that's not stressed enough, you know, that's in what we're doing. And every time we daven, every time we learn, every time we do a mitzvah, we're not just affecting ourselves, we're impacting and affecting the whole world. Kabbalistically, that's, you know, very much that's so. That's every mitzvah which we do is an act of being ma'al of the whole Bria. But it, the hargosha shaboy, that it's not it, it's we that we're, we stop and to think that the Rosh gave us the responsibility, the Rosh gave us the opportunity, it gave us the vehicle to impact the Bria, is something which is very important to think about. I had a conversation recently with somebody who was, you know, sitting shiva for a parent, and I pointed out that I think one of the biggest chassadim the version made in the Bria is the concept called Brahma Zaka Abba. Brahma Zaka Abba is that a child's moisim can be made to the parent, even though the parent is nifter. You picture the person's, Victor Miller Zetzal says it in his way of talking, his graphic way of talking. He says the person sitting in Shemaim in his canopy, and all of a sudden there's a knock on the door, special delivery package, care package from down below. Your son just davened for the yom, and there's a new package of diamonds to put in your canopy. Right? That's how he would describe it. However you picture it. Loyaleinu, I told the person, I can't comprehend, my mind can't comprehend how somebody who doesn't have this amunah can cope with that, with death of a loved one. It means the relationship has ended. The person had a relationship that lasted 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, and all of a sudden it's gone. The pain has to be, it's a searing pain. A person who has them understands the relationship continues. It takes a new form. The child's able to get up in the morning and do something for his parents. He's able to be mated to the parent even after the parent is gone. He's interacting with his parents. He's taking care of his parents. He's doing something. He has a vehicle to let out that those hargosha, that hargosha that he has, that emotions that he has, of the that he cares. He has a way to express it. It's a tremendous chesed of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So why does he have to wait till after the person dies? That the priest should have that hargosha, right? Why does he have to wait dafka to the a parent? Every time we get up in the morning and we daven, we are being mated to the whole world. Through tefillah, we're creating a vehicle of Russia bringing hashpah down to the whole world. Every time we put on tefillin, every time we say a bracha, every time we learn a word of Torah, we are strengthening Kadosh Baruch Hu's connection to the world. We're bringing hashpah to, you know, when I grew up, the poster child of all of the tsaros in the world was the children of Biafra. Children of Biafra were starving in Biafra. They used to go like, you know, you have to eat your finish off your bowl of Cheerios because the children of Biafra are starving. They used to be, they always be. So I never understood exactly the sushel because, like, so that means you're going to send it to them otherwise? Like you stole it from them? Like, I never understood what my mother meant. Like, you know, children of Biafra are starving, therefore you have to finish your lunch. But that was the thought process, right? But, you know, I don't know how eating the rest of my lunch could help the kids in Biafra. But I can tell you, saying a bracha helps the kids in Biafra. But I can tell you that learning does. I can tell you that putting on tefillin does. I can tell you that being careful lashon hara does. I can tell you that doing mitzvahs does that. When we approach our avodas Hashem, and that's what Avraham Avinu did. He approached his avoda. The whole mitzvah of the avoda was with living with an awareness that he's interfacing with the bria. And he cares about the Bria, and he's being mated to the Bria. And it has to fill you with this tremendous simcha. If we could picture, if the Shemayim would open up, the Rebbe Chaim says that Avraham Avinu had reached a Madrega, he could actually see what was happening in Shemayim. So, a person can, if we could picture, right, and we were able to see, the Shemayim would open up, and we would see that we get up in the morning, we put on tefillin, and all of a sudden there's like this surge of energy and hashpah from Shemayim, and it's changing the whole Bria. Like, you wouldn't be excited to put on tefillin. You'd be jumping from joy for putting on tefillin. Look what you accomplished. We don't get to see it, so we don't think, I put on tefillin. This, you know, so I put on a physical black box on my arm. That's all it is. That's all it is. I'm interfacing with the whole Bria. And not just the physical over here, but all of the lamas. And I'm changing everything. So I'm changing all the malach. I'm changing the whole world by one mitzvah. And we just don't see it like that. The Rosh Chaim says that Avraham Avinu saw it like that. Avraham Avinu was understood what is right and what is wrong, because Pasad, as he would contemplate and as he would do, he would see the lamas being nischadish or lamas being nechrav. So he understood that's the madriga that he reached. But he reached the madriga because he saw lamas. He saw this world first. He didn't see himself. He saw everybody. He saw the whole world. And he cared about them. So, whether the focus is the children of Biafra or the children in the local neighborhood or your own kids or your chaver, he saw everybody else. And he was made to them. Because that's that Rosh Hashanah made our nature that we want. That Rosh Hashanah made us. The Rosh Hashanah is a mative. And our greatest state of simcha will be when we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, to be like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to be mitivim. So we just see it as, well, this is what you have to do, it's a responsibility. That's all we see, it's a pressure. If you see it as an opportunity, it's you jump from joy that I have the ability to do it. So what can I do to help the children of Biafra? I can say a bracha. Wow, that's nice. A minute ago, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to help them. So I could, you know, click here and send, you know, $10 to the children of Biafra, right? You know, that's what we have nowadays. But I didn't have an option when I was a kid, right? No, I can be mated. I can be mated by by every time I do a mitzvah. It's important we put it into our thought process. I share with you a story. Had a young man. That man was a fascinating young man. Russian. He was raised in Russia. His grandparents were from Baruch Hashem. His parents were raised in, the atheistic regime. It's after they were not from. They came to. They eventually got out. They came to America. And he was living with his grandparents. But he had been raised in that culture. So they sent him to from school, etc. Brilliant mind. At the age of 12, he was the winner of the Pirkei Mishnayos Baal Peh contest. He memorized, I don't know, a few thousand Mishnayos Baal Peh. At the age of 15, he was without a yarmulke. He was busy. He became a socialist communist. He was going to Project Hope or Project whatever they call it, Peace Corps, to Southeast Asia to help people. And he was brought to me to have a conversation. And his point was he wants to help the world. I said, we're going to learn Torah Mitzvahs, you're helping the world. He says, yeah, but do you feel it? Do you feel it? Is that what you're thinking about when you do it? Or are you just thinking about yourself? It was a very good point. I remember I was a little bit stunned by the point, but when he... Rabbi Cutler writes in one place, he says, the person understands that every time you're doing Torah Mitzvahs, you're being made to the whole Bria. Talmud Torah Kenega Kulam, because that this is a vehicle of Atava to the whole Bria. Everything we're talking about, there's forms of Chesed. Achnos Kala, the voice of Meis. And the Talmud Torah Kenega Kulam, because there's the greatest Atava, the greatest Hashpot to the Bria is learning Torah. But we don't think about that when we open a Gemara. We think about how do I refocus on the Gemara, right? We focus. Why am I doing that? Because that's what I have to do. Why don't I enjoy learning? Why am I doing that? Because it's a responsibility to the whole Bria. Wow. Why am I doing it? Because it's an opportunity to be native to the whole Bria. Whole new Madrega. It's a whole. I push it. I'm sitting here and I'm helping the whole world. I'm bringing if the Shemayim would open up and I would see it happening, I would be dancing from a simcha. Shemayim opened up, and every time I say Omer Abaya, and I see all of a sudden somebody's life is saved because there's more kayach of hashpo on the Bria. I wouldn't want to learn Omer Abaya which even starker, but the next time, of course I would. Look what I'm doing. I'm a vehicle of hatava to the whole Bria. How can you not be besimcha? The Baruch Shem Bechastoy gave us a hechatimsa to live with an awareness of the whole Bria, care about the whole Bria, and interface with the whole Bria, and give to the whole Bria. It's that point that I said about the Hatava of Brahma Zaka Abba a million times over. 7.5 billion times over. So, going back to my original question, Linnaeus Daiti, Avraham Avinu was a very happy person. Because he was a person who saw the world like that. The Rebbe Chaim said he saw his interface with the Bria. He saw it. He saw the Hashpah he was doing. And each individual person he dealt with, he saw how he was able to help them. And he was able to help them. And he changed their lives. Nefesh Asher Osu Bechara. I spoke yesterday with Shoshudas, right, about the idea that one individual, the seeper of the Torah is a seeper of individuals. Right? We have the individuals all going off. Adam, his chait of Adam, Kayan. Then we have, eventually that impacted a whole door. We have the door Hamabel and door Haflaga. And the story of the Tikkun is a story of individuals. It's about the whole Sefer Bereishis is about one person can make a difference. And we sometimes we see it. I didn't say this, I didn't say this mostly yesterday. Just thinking about it, my own life. I made a decision one time to do a mitzvah. I met somebody because of that. That person made a decision to do a mitzvah. And that fact that one person made a decision to do a mitzvah led to a series of events that I've been zeichet to impact many thousands of people's lives. Because one person did a mitzvah. That's how the world works. The world works with stories of people, of individuals. Each individual has the power to impact. We don't see, yeah, I want to do it, make a difference. Yeah, don't do it, make a difference. Imagine that person, you know, walked into the hospital that day and saw that there were two kosher trays, one for her son and one for somebody else, and she didn't do Bikur Chayla. She didn't go to the other person. Imagine that. So where would I be? Where would you be? But one person made a decision to visit somebody that started a conversation, and that conversation changed my life and it changed your lives. It's one person, one time. It is a story of individuals. Each of us are empowered tremendously to make a tremendous difference. And we don't necessarily see it immediately. And it's like even if we get on Kabbalistically, rationalistically. Right? If imagine we'd have this supervision, you know, I'd be Superman, I could see the supervision. I see when I walk into the store and I smile at the person, I say good morning. And because of that, the person is in a better mood and they're nice to somebody else. That person goes home and smiles at his wife. And Mela, they make up from the fight that they had. And Mela, the kid that day comes from, and they give him praise. And Mela, he learns better the next day. We don't realize that life doesn't work like that. Of course life works like that. What do? I smiled at somebody. But that sets in motion tremendous things. The Kiddush of Rabbi Avinu, he lived his life with an awareness that every moment he's impacting. He saw it not as a pressure, not as a responsibility, but as an opportunity. And as a chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that allowed him to play that role. And mainly, he made Nefesh HaShar Asa B'chara. And Chazal says, we have a key of the Ramchal writes, and the person is supposed to spend an hour a day being this Bainan. What did the others do that the Bereshim was Choshek Behem? The Bereshim desired that. And I should do the same thing. I'm not going to be Avram Avinu. Yes, I am. I'm not going to be the Madrega of Avram Avinu, but it doesn't make a difference because my Avodah is not to be Avram, it's not to be his Madrega. My Avodah is to use the opportunity the Bereshim gave me in my life. And my Madrega, the same way he did in his life, in his Madrega. That's my Avodah. That I could do. But the point is not just should be, it shouldn't be, oy vey, now I remember Rangel just said I have this whole responsibility. That's not the point. It's such an opportunity. An opportunity of Hatava, which is a tremendous thing. We want to take advantage of that opportunity. And understand that the Russian was—it's such a chesed of Kadosh Baruch Hu to allow us to play that role. And the simcha is the byproduct of playing a role. Understand that you have a purpose, and fulfilling that purpose, a person is in a state of simcha, a tremendous state of simcha. And that's why the focus in the Torah is not about simcha. The focus is about avodah, because you only will have simcha when you focus on your avodah properly.